We begin this morning. I want to say a special thank you to Dietrich for last Sunday and stepping in and speaking to you about the wisdom that comes from above, as we looked in the book of James, and especially as he emphasized the character quality of gentleness. I hope for those of you who are here, as you listen to that message, the desire of your heart is really to become more like Christ, to see our Savior modeling that as one who was not only wise, but one that was also gentle in their way. Now, our time this morning, since we're coming off celebrating Thanksgiving Day, I thought it appropriate to encourage all of us to be thankful, not just on the last Thursday of the month of November, but all of our days. To be known as one who is thankful, one who is grateful, one that is appreciative. So if you will, I want to ask you to join me as we begin our time in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. As you're turning there, there's a question that is often asked by people, and that is, what is God's will for my life? As we look at this verse, we're going to see that one aspect of God's will for your life is laid out here very explicitly. Because in verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." If you're here in Christ Jesus, it explicitly tells us that the will of God for your life is that you're someone that will give thanks in everything. It really can't be said any more clear than that. That we, when he says here, we're to have a life of thanksgiving. Even the word that he uses there of giving thanks, it's in the imperative mood, it's in the present tense, which is saying this should be a way of life. This should be something that's continually throughout our life, something that we're known for. And especially as you look at it, he says, in everything. I mean, really, in this context, he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. As I thought about that, I recognized that even in the Old Testament, that this same principle is taught. Listen to what it says when David, whenever the Ark of the Covenant was coming back and being placed back in the tent, in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 7, it says, "And on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord." And in verse 8, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples." Beloved, the primary reason why we are to give thanks to God is because it glorifies God. Our primary purpose in life is to glorify God. And one of the ways that we do that is by expressing thanks to Him. Listen to this verse. In the first part of Psalm 50, verse 23, it says this, "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me." That is, it glorifies me. It glorifies me. It also makes me think about what the Apostle Paul says. Keep this in mind about glorifying God and giving thanks. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, there Paul wrote, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do all of it. Do all to the glory of God." And then in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, he says, "Whatever you do, whether you do it in word or you do it in your deeds, you do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." So clearly, from Psalm 50 to looking at 1 Corinthians 10 to Colossians 3, I want you to see that as we seek to obey this command of giving thanks to the Lord in everything, if we're in Christ Jesus, that ultimately our purpose there is to do it for the glory of God. Now, as we go back to this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, here in verse 18. Let's put it in its proper context. You think about it, it is part of a really multiple practical exhortations that the Apostle Paul is giving to the church there. Especially when I said in verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Verse 19, don't quench the spirit. Verse 20, don't despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. It's like he's just giving one after the other, after the other, after the other. And those verses and those commands and exhortations there are a call to really personal holiness. And they're coming on the heels where the Apostle Paul has been teaching them and reminding them about the day of the Lord, talking about the dead in Christ at the coming of Christ. Then in verses 12 through 15 is where he begins to talk about how do we live with one another here in the body of Christ? How do we encourage one another? How do we hold each other accountable? Verse 12, we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you, that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, in verse 14, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another, for all the people. He's saying here in the church, here's what I'm urging you. Here's what I'm asking of you. Here's what I'm pleading of you. How you live with the leadership. How you live with one another. How you help one another. Encourage one another. Hold each other accountable here in the body of Christ. And then in verse 16, it's like he then focuses in on not just corporate life, but our personal life. Of rejoicing, praying, giving thanks, not quenching the spirit, not despising prophetic utterances of the word of God, but making sure we examine everything carefully, we hold fast to that which is good, and that we're abstaining from every form of evil. This command, give thanks, Paul really issues it again over in the book of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 15, where at the end of that verse, he just simply says, be thankful. Be thankful. As I thought about that, I'm saying, okay, the Apostle Paul is writing and commanding God's people to be thankful. So I wanted to look back and say, well, is Paul a thankful person? Does he practice this in his own life? And I want you to see that he does. He is a very thankful person. We're going to do this quickly, but if you will, turn back with me. Begin in the book of Romans and go back to Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. And it is there that the Apostle Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. I am thanking my God through Christ for all of you because of your faith, what it is that you're doing and God is doing through you and proclaiming it throughout the whole world. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 for a moment. Just the next book over. And again, he starts it off in verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you. Why? For the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you're not lacking in any gift. You're awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, when I pray, I'm thanking God for you, what God has done for you, what God is doing in you. If you will, look over the book of Ephesians for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 1. And in verse 15 and 16, he says this, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. I don't cease from giving thanks to God for you. I can't help myself. Now, if you will, look over the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5, where then Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul said, I thank God when I remember you, when every time I'm offering prayer, a part of my prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving to God, and I do it with joy for all of you when I think back to your participation in the gospel. What God has done in your life and has continued to do in your life from the first day until now. I just can't help myself but to give thanks to God. Now look over in the book of Colossians, the next book. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Paul again says, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Paul hears about people's faith. He hears about their love. He hears about what God's doing in their life. And he immediately goes into prayers of thanksgiving, thanking God always for them. And now notice something else. Notice verse 9 and then verse 12, because they're connected together. In Colossians 1, verse 9, he says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, that since the day we've heard of your faith, we have not ceased to pray for you. And we're praying and asking that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and an understanding. And the reason why we pray this way is because here's what we want God to do. We want him in verse 10 for you to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. And when you're walking in a manner that is pleasing to the Lord and that is worthy of the Lord and the salvation he has provided you, one of the things that you and I will be doing is down in verse 12, and that is giving thanks. You see, giving thanks goes back to verse 9 and 10. Paul's praying, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will. I want you to be filled with wisdom. I want you to be filled with understanding, because then you will live your life in a way that is worthy and pleasing of the Lord. And when you and I are doing that, one of the things we'll be doing is giving thanks to the Father. He says in verse 12, who's qualified us to share the inheritance of the saints in light. Look with me for just a moment. Look at 1 Thessalonians, the next book, chapter 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. Because we're constantly, we keep bearing in mind your work of faith, your labor of love, your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our gospel didn't come to you in verse 5 in word only, but also in the power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. You became an example in verse 7. As Paul is constantly bearing in them in mind and how they received the gospel and how it was transforming their life, he says, I couldn't help but keep giving thanks to God always for you. Always. Look over in 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1, verse 3, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, because their faith and their love that is growing. But I want you to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, where here Paul says, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. And here's why. Because God has chosen you, and he chose you from the beginning for salvation, through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says we ought to always be giving thanks to God because God chose us from the beginning. And he chose us for salvation. He did it through sanctification by that Spirit and faith in the truth. He called us to Himself through the gospel. If you're here this morning and you're a true follower of Jesus Christ and you're a true believer, you should always have a heart of thanksgiving, because you know the reason why it is that you have that faith in Him is because He effectually called you through His gospel. He chose you before the foundation of the world. He chose you for salvation. To bring humility, love, and thankfulness because of what He has done. One other place we'll just look at for a moment. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Paul says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me." And then he tells him why. Why is Paul thanking Christ? "Because He considered me faithful. He put me into service, even though I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent aggressor. Yet He showed me mercy. I acted in ignorance. I acted in the ignorance of unbelief." Unbelief is true ignorance before God. Though it was staring Paul in the face for all that time before God came to him and Jesus appeared to him on that road to Damascus and opened his eyes, Paul, it was staring Paul in the face, and yet he was acting over and over again and being a violent aggressor and being a persecutor and a blasphemer of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was doing it out of the ignorance of unbelief. And the grace of God appeared, opened his eyes, saved him. And not only did it save him, he says, I thank Christ Jesus because He put me into service. He didn't just save me. He put me into service for His honor and for His kingdom, for who He is. So, beloved, I want you to see that, to understand that when Paul is commanding, be thankful, give thanks, this is something that he practices. This is something that he does. And I want you to understand, one of the biggest difference that should be demonstrated between us and the unbelieving world is that we will be thankful people. We will be grateful people. I'm reminded of what it says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, where there it's talking about the unbelievers suppress the word of God, suppress the truth about God. They don't want to hear it, and they keep suppressing it, and they want to exchange the truth for a lie. And one of the things it says there is that though they know God, they will not honor Him, and they will not give Him thanks. Well, think about this. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you want a great description of where we live today and the society we live in, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come." You know why there's going to be difficult times? Because men are going to be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, and ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of God, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They hold to a form of godliness, though they'll deny its power. We live in a society that is ungrateful. Yet I'm reminded of what it says in Psalm 140, in the first part of verse 13, where it says, "Surely the righteous will give thanks to your name." The unbelieving world is not going to give thanks to God, but surely the righteous will give thanks to our God. Now, beloved, to me, as we think back on this command of being thankful, giving thanks in everything, the key to this, obviously is first and foremost being saved. But as saved people, it is about being, this the idea of what Paul says there in Ephesians and in Colossians about being filled with wisdom and understanding. And that requires that we are filled with the Holy Spirit because we are filled with the Word of God. And I want you to understand that and see this. Go over again to the book of Ephesians and go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, probably a verse that you're much more familiar with, where there Paul says, commands, gives a prohibition, don't get drunk with wine. For that is dissipation. But here's what we were supposed to do. We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. That is, we're supposed to be under the control and the influence of the Spirit of God. And then beginning in verse 19, he gives these phrases that begin to describe what a person who is being filled and is under the influence of the Spirit of God, here's what will come flowing out of their life. And look down in verse 20. They will always be giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So when somebody is filled with the Spirit, it will demonstrate itself in their life as someone who's always giving thanks. Paul said, give thanks in everything. Here he says, the one who's filled with the Spirit will always be giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God. And with that statement, look over for just a minute in the book of Colossians and look at Colossians chapter 3. And we see this similar statement, but notice something a little different. In verse 16 of Colossians 3, it says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, you do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Again, what's the key there? The word of Christ richly dwelling within you. When the word of Christ is richly dwelling within you, then one of the things it will do is it will cause you there to be giving thanks through him, God, to God the Father. And whatever you do, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Spirit of God who dwells in you, when you take in the Word of God and the Word of God is dwelling in your heart, it's residing in your heart, you're thinking on it, you're reading it, you're meditating, you're pondering it in your heart, the Spirit of God will take that Word and what's going on, and one of the things it will do is it will begin to produce in you a heart of gratefulness and thankfulness to God. Thus we need to yield to the Spirit of God. Yearn for the Word of God in our hearts. Let it dwell within us. You see, beloved, we can't do what we're being asked to do here in our own strength. We have to have the grace of God. We have to have the Spirit of God and the Word of God that dwells in us to produce it. I want you to think about this. So I thought about these two phrases that Paul gave us. The one we just read in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks to God. And then, in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 14, he says, do all things without grumbling and complaining. They're just the opposite. He's saying the same thing there, but he's saying it in an opposite way. Because when we're grumbling and complaining, we're not giving thanks. And if we're truly giving thanks in our heart to God, we won't be complaining and grumbling. And notice, I want you to notice again what he says. In everything give thanks and do all things without grumbling and complaining. This is the life that God's called us to. This is the will of God for our life. that we are a thankful people. Well, let me give you two examples of this. The first one is from Scripture, and it's from actually the book of Jonah. I read to you earlier from Psalm 50 in verse 23 that he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving is honoring and glorifying God. And we see this in the life of Jonah, where he is giving thanks. He's offering up a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. And do you remember where Jonah was when he did that? He was in the belly of a fish. He had been in rebellion against God. And God had brought him to true repentance. And Jonah was beginning to deal with his heart before God. And as he did, he says this while he's still in the belly of the fish. In Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9, the first part of it, he says, "But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving." That's what I'll do, God. I will honor you. So in everything, while he was there, still in the belly of that fish, he was saying, "I will offer up praise and thanksgiving to my God." In a sense, Jonah was in some ways thankful for what God had done. That God had brought him to that place because it helped him to begin to see his need of repentance. But God still had more to deal with Jonah. Other things he needed to repent of in his heart. But that is an example of where we can give thanks in everything. But let me give you another example that's outside of Scripture. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Corrie Ten Boom. She was an evangelist. Her family had helped the Jews during the time of Nazi Germany, had helped them to protect them because they were being killed by Hitler and the Nazis. And at some point, she was arrested. And she and her sister went in a Nazi concentration camp. And at some point while they were there, someone smuggled in a Bible to them. And as it says, as they began to read it, now, as you hear that, I want you to think about Colossians 3. When you let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, you can begin to give thanks in all things. And as they began to read that smuggled in Bible, it began to change them. And even though they were still there in a Nazi concentration camp, they were able to give thanks to God and to give thanks to God for everything, including the fleas that they were dealing with. Where they lived and the barracks they lived in was infested with fleas. And yet, she said, they came to thank God for the fleas. Because they were so infested with fleas, in more way than one, the guards would leave them alone. And because the guards would leave them alone, it gave them privacy. And in that privacy, they read the Bible. And in that privacy, they shared it with others. And others got saved and came to know Jesus as their Savior and as their Lord. That's why she could look at the fleas. And love, you know, if you're living with fleas, that is a miserable state. But she says, we can give thanks to God in everything. You know, as I thought about just reading through several of these different passages and books, as I thought about some of the things that Paul said in his letters, I realized something that struck me. That when we all come together, there is to be a giving of thanks. That is, over in Colossians 3, when we sing together, we're supposed to be singing together with thankfulness. In 1 Timothy 2, Paul says there, when we come together to pray, we pray together, we're to pray together with thankfulness. And that 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 through 14, where Paul was talking about, I thank Christ Jesus my Lord because he put me into service. Beloved, when we come and serve one another here in the body of Christ, we're to do it with a heart of thankfulness. And even in our giving, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, there Paul talks about coming and giving with a heart of cheerfulness, a heart of thankfulness, knowing that it can produce more thankfulness to God. So whether we're singing, praying, serving, or giving, there should be a thankfulness in our heart for our God and our Savior. But also thought about it like this. What are some things that keeps us from being thankful? And I have three words that I describe with three phrases. And the three words, the things that keep us from being thankful, is ego, envy, and entitlement. Ego, envy, and entitlement. By ego, I mean if I have a mentality that says, I did it. You remember in the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus tells that parable, I think even Dietrich alluded to it last Sunday, between the tax collector and the Pharisee when they go into the temple to pray. Do you remember how he prays? He says, I thank you, God. I'm not like all these other people. I'm not like that man right over there. Because here's what I do. I give, I pray, I fast. I. It's what I do. But our ego will keep us from being thankful. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. What he said to the arrogant church of Corinth. Which is really, it's really a contradiction when you think about it. Because if you were really, probably of all the churches that Paul had an involvement in directly, the one that was the most blessed with gifts, with the grace of God, was the church at Corinth. And yet they were the most arrogant church. They had the biggest ego of any church. And they were the least thankful church. It's because they forgot this. This is what Paul reminded them of. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you have not received it? See? So what I'm saying is, whatever it is that you have, whatever talents you have, whatever gifts you have, whatever opportunities you have to serve, whatever it may be, do you understand you have all of that because you received it? God gave it to you. It's in the wonderful, sovereign grace of God. God didn't just sovereignly and graciously save you. God sovereignly gifted you. You were gifted by the Spirit of God according to His sovereign choice. And however it is, He wants you to operate and to live in your life and in the body of Christ. So whenever things happen, our heart should always be saying, I didn't do it, God did it. But as soon as I or you start to say, I did it, and we're not going to give thanks. That'll keep us from being thankful. Envy will keep us from being thankful. My phrase there is, I desire it. It's impossible to be thankful to God for others and for what you have, or even for what you do have, you are envious of others. If I'm constantly looking at what someone else has, at what someone else gets to do, the role they get to play. If in my heart I'm envious of that, I cannot be thankful for them. I can't be thankful to God for what God's doing in their life. I can't be thankful to God for how God's using them to serve the body of Christ. I can't be thankful to God for how He's blessing them. I can't rejoice with those who rejoice. I just can't do it. Why? Because in my heart I'm envious and saying, I want that. I desire that. Instead of being satisfied in God. Or as it says in Psalm 37:4, just delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Because if you delight yourself in Him, He will change your heart and change your desires. Beloved, if we have an ego or if we have envy, if we have a mentality that says, I did it or I desire it, that will keep us from being thankful. But thirdly, entitlement. The phrase there I thought of was, I deserve it. I deserve it. Now that eats our society up. You watch the news, you listen to all the issues and the problems going on. Over and over again, that's what you're going to hear is, I deserve it. All I would ask us always to remember is, what do each one of us justly deserve? What do you justly deserve from God? And when you realize that, there will be no attitude of, I deserve it. Because if God gave me what I deserved, I wouldn't be standing here. I'd be in hell, and justly so. Because I'm a sinner who rebelled against my Creator and my Maker. And yet, He showed me mercy and grace, as Paul talked about. And if you're here today as a saved person, you ought to, out of all people, ought to know, I didn't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I didn't do it. And I'll just desire whatever it is God so desires for my life. So, beloved, if you struggle with ego, if you struggle with envy, if you struggle with an attitude of entitlement, you need to deal with that, or it's going to keep you from being thankful. But I would also say this. Scripture makes it very clear of some reasons why we should give thanks to God. In Psalm 106 in verse 1, it says, God is good and loving. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Here's why, for He is good. For His loving kindness is everlasting. In Revelation chapter 11 and verse 17, there it speaks about us giving thanks to God because of His sovereignty and His royalty and His reigning. I will give thanks to my God because of who He is. But also, let me just say this. Give thanks to God for the following reasons in your own life. First and foremost, if you're here today as a believer, thank Him for the gift, the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ and the indescribable gift of salvation He has provided you. We read that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14. We give thanks to God for you always. Why? Because He chose you. He saved you. Give thanks to God for that regularly. Give thanks to God because He continues to show you His grace. He continues to show you His mercy. Give thanks to God because He answers your prayers. Give thanks to God, as Paul said there in the book of Colossians, because He's qualified you to be in His kingdom. Give thanks to God because He provides for you. He protects you. I think about Israel. They walked in the desert and the wilderness for almost 40 years, and nothing wore out. Nothing. All their needs were met. And part of their problem was they couldn't be thankful. They kept saying, I desire that. I desire what I had back in Egypt. We deserve it. That's why they kept complaining against God. Oh, beloved, be mindful of how God protects you and provides for you. Be mindful and be thankful to God for in whatever way He's put you into service for His kingdom. Be thankful for that. And finally, just be thankful for the common grace of God. That is, be thankful for the common grace of your family. Your husband or your wife, your children, your parents or your siblings. Be thankful for your friends. Be thankful for your job. Be thankful for your home. Be thankful for your clothes. Be thankful for everything that you have. Just the common grace of God that comes pouring out to you every day. We sang it even this morning, a minute ago. The new mercies we see from God every morning. They just keep pouring out to us over and over and over again. We just need to sometimes, that old phrase, just stop and smell the roses and realize what God has done and is doing. That's not to say we haven't all had hard times and difficult times from family and friends and jobs and different things, but even in the midst of that, we can be thankful for what God's provided. So here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you to prayerfully sit down and write out at least three things that you're thankful to God for in regards to your family, in regards to your church family, just in regards to your life, in regards to your salvation. Write down three things in those areas. In regards to your family, in regards to your church family, in regards to your life, in regards to your salvation. And I would even encourage you, when it comes to your family, when it comes to your church family, share that with them. If we will get in the habit of genuinely showing thankfulness to God for others and what God is doing in their life, it will help us to be contentful, satisfied, be thankful for what God has done. Well, be thankful. In everything give thanks. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. Thus fill your mind with the Word of God and yield to the Spirit of God in your life. And if you're here this morning as an unbeliever, you've never truly professed faith in Christ, I want to urge you to repent and put your faith in Him. Because, you know, God has shown you such kindness, such grace, such mercy. Because where you should be right now is eternally separated from God. But look where you are. And look what you have. And look what God's offering you. Repent of your sins. Repent of your unthankfulness, your rebellion against God. Humble yourself before Him and trust in His Son and the work He did on the cross for our sins. God raised Him from the dead. Put your trust in Him. You see, out of love and grace, He offers you forgiveness through His Son. So you can give thanks to Him for what He has done. I want to ask you to bow your heads in prayer for a moment.